Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, Jesus, after the end of our gospel lesson for today, Jesus says of John, he says, among those who are born of women, that means out of all the people in the entire human race, right? There has not arisen someone greater than John the Baptist. So, when we hear that John sent two of his disciples to Jesus to ask him the question, are you he who should come, or do we look for another? It's inappropriate to think John was having doubts because he was in prison and things were not working out the way he had expected them. We must remember that John was the one who said to his disciples over and over again, he must increase, that is Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. John was not having a crisis of faith in the prison, but his disciples were having a real problem. His disciples were overly affected by the fact that in the nation of Israel in those days, there was precious little attention paid to the prophecies like Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. There's a lot of attention paid to the prophecies of the glorious, powerful Messiah who will come and will crack heads and will bring glory to the nation of Israel. That's a kind of an attractive thought, especially if you are downtrodden and you are tyrannized by the Roman Empire. Boy, it sounds like something to really look forward to. When the Messiah comes, he's going to kill all these Romans and he is going to glorify and lift us up, and it will last forever. So, but here's the deal. As often happens in the world, even in the church, we pay attention to the things that we like and we kind of ignore the things that we don't like, right? So, you know that funny movie about Talladega Nights? Remember that guy? And remember how much the guy who Will Ferrell played, and he only liked talking about the baby Jesus? You've seen that movie? He only liked talking about the baby Jesus. He wanted to talk about Christ crucified or anything like that. But to him, his religion was the baby Jesus. That's an example of paying attention to the parts you like and ignoring the stuff that's important, but that doesn't quite doesn't float your boat the way the other stuff does. John's disciples were reluctant to take John's advice and to follow Jesus because Jesus wasn't doing the things they thought he was supposed to do. Where's his army? Right? Why isn't he going to Jerusalem and taking over the joint? Why isn't he even now smashing the Romans? And so they had a conflict between their expectation and their experience. They expected Christ to be this, but Christ wasn't that. He was something else entirely. They did not understand the relationship between the two pictures God gives us in the Old Testament about the Messiah. The first picture we get about the Messiah is He is a redeemer and a savior from sin. And he does that by suffering in our place. That's the first and most important picture of the Messiah. Then the second picture of the Messiah, which is the same Messiah but at different times, the second picture of the Messiah is he shall come again in glory to judge both the quick and the dead, right? And his kingdom shall have no end. But they didn't understand that the suffering servant must come first, and then the Messiah, the glorious messianic appearance comes later. And so, when Jesus was not opposing Rome, when he was not trying to run the place, when he did not have an army of warriors surrounding him, the disciples of John said, this guy can't be the Messiah. John means well, but you know, John's in prison, and you know, we've got to kind of, you know, we want to be loyal to John, but this guy Jesus doesn't seem to be filling the bill. So John says, you know, like many teachers, he kind of gets exhausted with trying to explain the same thing over and over again. So he says, all right, I'm going to send you to the horse's mouth. You go to Jesus and you ask him this question. And whatever he says, you bring it back to me and we'll talk. So this is what happens. It's the disciples of John who are struggling with Jesus. John himself knows that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But his disciples can't get that through their heads. Just like Jesus' disciples don't get it. You know, every time Jesus tells them, the Son of Man shall be handed over to be killed, and on the third day rise again. What happens with the 12 apostles? Right? In one ear, out the other. Right? Over and over again. And so, you know, it's not just the disciples of John that are struggling. So they come to Jesus and they ask him this question. Why aren't you living up to our expectation of you? Are you the one? Or are you just another step along the way and there's somebody else coming? Right? Do we look for another? Are you the one who should come or do we look for another? Right, so how does Jesus answer this? Right? How does Jesus answer it? And what does his answer have to say to us? Because we know what it's like to have expectations that are not met by our experience. You've all had that experience in life where you expected something to be one way, and when you got it, it was entirely different from what you expected. Well, imagine thinking that about the way of salvation, right? And so here, Jesus answers. And first thing he says to them is this, go and report to John those things which you hear and see. All right? Notice what he says. He says, you have been hearing and you have been seeing things. And then he lists them for them. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. All right? So he says to the disciples of John, what are you hearing and seeing? You are hearing and seeing the works of the Messiah as prophesied by Isaiah the prophet. All right, now, I want to share a passage with you from Isaiah chapter 35. Speaking of the time of the Messiah, the messianic age, it says, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame man shall leap like a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness there shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Jesus is referring the disciples of John the Baptist to what Isaiah the prophet says about the Messiah's works and the Messiah's age when he comes. What will the time of the Messiah be like? And so Jesus says, what do you guys want? Egg in your beer, right? Here you are hearing and seeing right before your very eyes. The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, right? But there's another passage in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. And in Isaiah chapter 61, the Messiah says, these are the words of the Messiah, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me, and the Hebrew word there is Mashiach, which is translated into the Greek word Christos, which means Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one. And so the Lord hath anointed me with the Holy Spirit to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. All right, so there we have in Isaiah chapter 61, that the Messiah is anointed to preach good tidings, a good message, a gospel. That's what the word gospel means, good message, right? And so the Messiah is anointed to preach the gospel to the meek, to the lowly, to the poor. And so here Jesus is saying, listen guys, Isaiah is the king of the prophets in the Old Testament. He is like the most prophetiest prophet we got, right? And Isaiah describes what you're seeing and hearing me do every day, right? And so here, now you and I, we are hearing this, and we know, especially in our modern day and age, when the world thinks that in its wisdom it can disregard and turn away from the church and the things of Christ, and they can say, oh, that's only for old people and the weak, right? And so we don't have to concern ourselves with the church anymore. But here, what you and I are being shown is that our faith in Christ is vindicated by the fulfillment of prophecy, just like our faith in Christ was vindicated by his resurrection from the dead. And so our faith will be vindicated when he comes again in glory to judge the quick and the dead, and will say to us, come ye blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So that's the first thing that's a comfort to us, especially in this day and age of secularism and immorality. It's a comfort to us for us to hear an example of Jesus fulfilling multiple prophecies in one sentence here, right? Right. Then Jesus ends his discussion with John by a terse comment. He says this, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Let's put that in simpler English. Blessed is the one who does not take offense at me. All right? Blessed is the one that does not take offense at me. Or you could say it from a positive side. Blessed is he who takes refuge in me, right? So it's as if Jesus is saying to the disciples of John, I know you don't get the whole picture yet. Most people don't get the whole picture yet. Hang in there and everything will soon become clear. What is confusing to you now will be revealed to you by and by through the word and through my fulfillment of the word. So he's saying to the disciples, blessed is the one who takes refuge in me, even when you don't understand everything, even when it doesn't look like I am who I'm claiming to be. Hang in there. Soon all things will become clear. When? When Jesus rises from the dead. You know, we were talking this morning in Bible class about that time when Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared to the disciples between his resurrection and the ascension, right? And the disciples, over and over again, are having this moment of, because all the things that Jesus said to them while he was still with them, and they didn't understand, and they couldn't figure out why he was talking about that stuff. In the light of his resurrection, everything became like, so that by the time the day of Pentecost comes, St. Peter is no longer that zesty kind of guy who often speaks before his mind thinks. On the day of Pentecost, he stands up and preaches the word of God with power, like he's known it all of his life. He's filled with the wisdom and power of the Holy Ghost, because in the light of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, all the things that were popping around as question marks in everybody's mind all became clear. Everything became clear, and so it is with us. We know that our Lord is risen from the dead. That means that his death on the cross was not a mere martyrdom, but it was a sacrifice for the sins of the world, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so here, Jesus is saying to John's disciples, hang in there. Don't let your hearts take offense in me. Take refuge in me. All will come clear in due time. But one of the things a lot of people don't realize is that Jesus is referring to a passage of Scripture. Once again, in Isaiah the prophet, right? And in Isaiah the prophet, it says this, Isaiah chapter 8, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Now listen carefully. And he shall be for a sanctuary, a refuge. He shall be for a sanctuary, but, listen, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. You see what Isaiah the prophet is saying? When the Lord comes, he will be for a sanctuary. He will be a refuge. But many people will stumble and fall because when the Messiah comes, he won't be recognizable to them because they've got other things in their mind interfering with the word of God. And so when God actually fulfills his word, they remain blind to it because they've got another agenda going on in their heads. They've got another idea of what their true need really is. And so when their need is presented to them in, according to Scripture, and when Christ is presented to them according to Scripture, they're like, that's not it. That's not it. Oh, yes, it is. So here Jesus is telling the disciples of John, look up Isaiah 8 and study it, right? Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. That is, blessed is the one who takes refuge in me. Right? So trust in the Lord. Whatever questions you have, whatever things you do not yet understand, trust in the Lord and all things will be made clear. Now the last thing that he says, as the two disciples of John are kind of turning and they're ready to go back to John, while they're still in the process of leaving, Jesus begins to talk to the crowd who has overheard this whole conversation. And he says, concerning John the Baptist, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? And the crowd would have laughed when Jesus said that, because everybody knew John was anything but a reed shaken in the wind. That is, John was not scared of anybody. John was not a trembling, hesitant person at all. John was a straight ahead, right at him kind of guy. And so when Jesus said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Someone that changes his opinion whichever way the wind is blowing? And people would have laughed. And the other thing that Jesus said is, what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft clothing? And again, when Jesus said that, people would have laughed. Why? Because John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He was not a soft indoor kind of guy. He was the ultimate of outdoorsmen. He looked like Elijah the prophet. He was roughly dressed, poor, and ate stuff that we wouldn't even want to bump into in the woods, right? And he ate those things. So people would have been amused by Jesus saying, a man clothed in soft clothing. He says, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Then he says further, Jesus says, now he gets to the point, and he says, so what did you go out to see? A prophet? And then Jesus says this, because everybody thought that John was a prophet, so they're going like this, yeah. And he says, and then Jesus says, he adds, yea, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. John is a prophet, just as you said, but he's more than a prophet. He is actually the fulfillment of prophecy, right? He is the fulfillment of prophecy. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. So John is the forerunner of the Messiah. The Messiah comes in on the coattails of the ministry of the messenger. Right? Just as we read in our Old Testament lesson, John is the foretold messenger to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, that's not yet the great insight that we're to be given. That, of course, is a great insight. John is the forerunner. But the question is that Jesus leaves dangling, but we have to fill in the blanks. So who does that make Jesus? Right? Who does that make Jesus? If John is the forerunner, where is the Messiah? Where is the Christ? Were there any other likely candidates at the time of John the Baptist? No. Right? Have there ever been since then? No. Right? And so the words of Jesus about John the Baptist, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee," right on the heels of John the Baptist's ministry must come the Messiah. And therefore, if John is the messenger to prepare the way of the Lord, Jesus and Jesus only must be the Lord. And so by hearing that John is the messenger to prepare the way, our faith in Christ is strengthened, and our faith in Christ is vindicated by this fulfillment of prophecy. And so whatever else we don't yet understand, whatever else we're struggling with, take heart in these wonderful things. The miracles of Jesus are foretold in the Old Testament. The fact that when the Messiah comes, he will be a sanctuary, but he will also be a stumbling stone for those who refuse to repent. All right? And the fact that John is the divinely appointed messenger to prepare the way of the Lord. These are all said and written in Holy Scripture that we may take comfort and rejoice in Jesus Christ, who has come to save us and give us everlasting life. And that's what we are celebrating on when we come to Christmas. The celebration of Christmas is that God has sent eternal life for us in the person and work of Jesus the Christ. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.